Welcome back to the Talosin Tech Podcast, everybody.
Randy, is you're wrecking the
being controlled by my brain. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you?
I just heard both of you say what podcast we're doing. Which podcast are we doing?
This is Tech.
Tech! Hi, everybody! Nice to see you!
Hey, really quickly, what's wrong with Randy today? He's been acting off in the comment, or, you know, whatever.
You know, I was
really worried about that, Randy. I mean,
what's up with him?
From now on,
I'm just going to be the first one to comment, yo, what's up with Randy this week?
It's that watch band of yours. It's like they're two colors. What's up with you?
I'm two-faced. I'm whatever. So, as you can see, we have very much to talk about because we're just rambling. And Nick and I are actually just getting our conversations out right now because this is the Andrew Erickson podcast today.
This is.
So, before we get into that, good morning, gents. Good seeing you all. Colored IMAX are rumored. We'll see how that goes. Don't know if they'll
can
be
I just say
event.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen.
Can I say if there is colored IMAX, it would be indifferent for me because I wouldn't get one of the colored ones if I was to even get an IMAX. So even if it was,
I agree. I would not get a colored one, and also I don't see why they would add much colors to something that you would never see the back of anyway. Especially if it's going to be
that's a good
Pro Display XDR type bezels. We're talking about different finishes for the back of the computer, which you will almost never look at unless it includes the dock. But honestly, at this point in, you know, the rumors, which I'm very disappointed by, but most rumors are alluding that the iMac redesign isn't launching till end of this year.
Sure.
I don't think they're anywhere near picking color palettes if they're not nearing mass production.
Don't worry. Some random guy DM'd someone, and now we have a whole news cycle about it. So.
Also, iPhone 13 confirmed, Marquez said.
can we talk about that video for a second?
Okay, and then when we do, I want to talk about the Mac Mini, but go ahead.
What made me laugh about that? First of all, Marquez, great video. I loved it. Especially to see a mainstream tech YouTuber finally say we overuse the term confirmed. I was like, yes, finally. Thank you, Marquez. Finally, I get, you know, someone else is agreeing with me on this. What's funny to me is how he mentioned everything Apple Pro and gave him a shout out and said, see, in the video title, he discloses it says leaks. And I was like, Marquez, you don't watch everything Apple Pro very much, do you? Because he's used that word confirmed many times in the past. And he was trying to use an example as like, see, this is how you talk about leaks. You don't use the word confirmed. I was like, if you scroll back about 2 months, you will see the term confirmed.
Or one video.
You will see the term confirmed many, many times. Philip, you got to do what you got to do. I get it. I'm not hating on Philip and anything. Makes great videos. I love the renders and all that. But I think a vast majority of the tech community is guilty of using the term confirmed. There's very few people that choose to not use it. I've used it when it's from Apple, but if it's a leak
or if
it's just someone claiming something.
You said AirPower was confirmed. That means you're wrong.
Yes, folks. Okay, I also say confirm when I have to go to the bathroom.
I'm going to look up confirmed and see what I get.
And then only to find out it was a fart. And I said, okay, this is not confirmed. This was rag.
I've used the word confirmed in my video titles 6 times.
Wow.
Ooh,
in the past.
Hypocrite.
Seven years.
Hypocrite.
They're all used for iPhone event.
When I find out where I'm going, if I'm leaving California, I'm going to be like, I'm leaving California. Parentheses, all caps, confirmed.
Confirmed. No, pretty much every time I used it, it was when Apple announced an event was happening.
Listen, you too are a leaker. And might I say, one of the leaks that came out, I was like, hey, Drew reported on something.
I leak a lot, especially after I go to Taco Bell.
Ooh. 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 No.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Have a great week. Can you imagine you put that in the edit? Just fake it.
I'll try to remember.
You had reported, it's 5-6 minutes, whatever. You reported a couple years ago about a modular Mac Pro, which was like Mac Mini stacked. And now that
I did not use the term confirmed.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You're very careful.
But funny enough is that rumor has now circulated again.
and it might be the same guy.
If it does turn out to be true, I'm gonna be like, okay, here are the receipts, bees.
That would be quite a hilarious turnaround. If it, like, back in 2019, I got
you would get your own page on Apple Track.
2018, yeah, you
I should. I've been running
Apple Track. Come on,
you would Taylor be 100%
Leaks has had 100% accuracy so far. If you follow that Twitter account, everything it said has happened.
I know, and I don't know why Sam hasn't authenticated you on his website.
Well, we had him on the podcast and
I think
confronted
we should have
him about
it until he did.
Sam,
we gave him many threats.
Yeah,
they didn't seem to work.
And then he said there was a bunch of BS going on that.
He's like, I have to deal with so many troll accounts. I was like, Sam, I'm not trolling here. These are inside leaks.
I'm legitimately holding your family hostage right now. I'm not trolling you.
Sam, this is not a troll. These are all 100% confirmed.
Did the next MacBook have speakers or did it not?
It did.
It did. Confirmed. Wow.
The leaks speak for themselves.
Confirmed. I'm just saying, if the Mac Mini Pro thing is modular, if that, because it's just I was tickled by it. I was like, look at that, I remember that
where have
joke.
We heard this before.
But the fact that now that it's been reported by someone outside of you and now there's people tracking it,
so now it's believable.
Well, not that it's believable, but if it blows up again, then you know it's kind of humorous.
Just the timeline was a little off.
It was off. It's unfortunate that leaks or leakers that have no – there's no authentication. It's like you could be an eggshell account and it is what it is, like CoinEx. Mm-hmm. There's no way to authenticate these people to verify. And I think that's obviously that's the point in regards to protecting the privacy of these people. But –
mm-hmm.
There's always a fine balance between being an anonymous source for journalism, which is a thing, like whistleblowers and stuff, and protecting one's IP. And when I think of those extremes, I go as far as like, well, the government had its IP and Edward Snowden did what he did. And be it whatever camp you fall in, technicality, that was a law, broke the law. And but he had his ambiguity.
Moral compass.
He had his ambiguity about being able to get this information up and then come clean on the record and stuff like that, and he revealed himself. And then on the other side, something so harmless as like, next AirPods is going to look like AirPods Pro without a suction cup, maybe. And that person is completely anonymous as well. I feel in the leak community is do what Edward Snowden did and say your thing. And then you have to come on camera. Hi, my name is Edward Snowden. And then you have to reveal yourself. Boom. And that's a joke. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But it's weird.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
For legal reasons, that's a joke. But it is weird that anyone can make a claim, and I do a little bit feel bad for Sam that he has to sift through all this BS, and I feel bad for people, and it makes that part of the community the news coverage of it just kind of sticky to begin with, which is why I've never been so interested in it. Like, I respect the people who do it, but I don't care for it because it kind of takes the fun out of everything for me personally. And two, there's a lot of BS that goes through, and I would rather hear it straight from the like CoinEx or Minche Ku or any of those guys. Like, I want to hear from them. I don't like this middleman thing because it's one more thing where it's like, now you, if Mark Gurman was wrong, it's like, you've been compromised. Or if anybody of these people were wrong, you've been compromised. And then it's like, eh, you're just the publication. But if you go straight from the source, like CoinX, then it's like, okay, well, there's validity behind this account. Or no, you're full of it, and now no one takes you seriously. And it just kind of weeds out the middleman of all that mess. But and then, like you were saying, Drew, you got to do what you got to do to make a living, and people found a way to capitalize on that. More power to you. But it's such a sticky, messy business.
It is.
Much respect to the people who do it, because that's
well, much too respect stressful. To the people who get it right. Like it's easy. It's easy to throw stuff out there, but. You know, yeah. those who actually get it right, congratulations.
Too much stress.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Those Apple events must be nail biters for these people.
No, I wouldn't be excited for events in that case. I would just be nervous the whole time.
I would
be
backstage taking shots out of a flask while Steve Jobs is giving his keynote demo.
Yeah, I agree.
And not get paid for it? Yeah, right.
But hey, those tweets and likes and articles about you. Very high accolade.
Hype.
So, Drew.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I see you had something new on your desk there. Is that a?
I don't know if it shows up on the
Starlink router.
Is there a way I can show it?
Smooth.
Yes.
Very smooth.
But yes, there's a Starlink router on my desk.
Now, what are the rumors about Taylosev getting a Starlink system? I mean, I think I was calling it. Pretty early on that Taylosev would be a fully Starlink compliant network within the next year, and we've already gotten one large piece of that.
Show me the tweet.
Down.
I don't believe you. Show me the tweet.
Show me the tweet.
Well, I can't because I already deleted it, but you know, it was there. You have to trust me.
He took it down. Yeah. I'm at a huge crossroads with Starlink.
Ooh.
It's tough.
Ooh, really?
This is like iPhone 12 mini versus iPhone 12 Pro Max debate all over again.
No, that was the worse. Easiest decision ever. What are you talking about?
Well, this might be easy from an outsider's perspective, but yeah, I am having a hard time deciding whether or not I should keep it or stick with Comcast or do something in the middle. And I can't make up my mind.
You should make a video of Drew talking to Drew talking to Drew, and then flip a coin. Those do well.
Maybe. I don't know. Do we have Comcast Drew and Starlink Drew?
I don't know what Comcast Drew could say nice, though, besides the speed and reliability.
That's very important.
No, it's not.
Except the performance of the internet. Yeah. Reliability is the only thing, though. Honestly, it's not a speed problem I've discovered.
Okay. Well, wait. So hold on. Let's back up two steps. What is your current Starlink speeds? What is your current Comcast speeds? And yeah.
Well, spoiler: Comcast is faster, but the speed was never that important to me. Mm. the Starlink speeds change by the second. So it's very hard for me to just tell you this is how fast Starlink is, because you can in real time see it have a solid connection and then lose connection and then find a connection again. It's the most volatile bandwidth I've ever seen in my life.
So don't invest in it.
I mean, if they IPO'd, I mean, I think it would be a great investment, but...
No investment
not
advice.
Financial advice.
Yeah, legally, that's
don't
not
sue
financial
me.
Advice.
I'm an idiot. In my opinion, do your own research. Don't do anything I say. Everything I say is a joke. But
for entertainment purposes,
think
we
only.
Just need to get like a ticker at the bottom of our entire. Of all
it goes
of our
by
shows.
Like really fast.
My lawyer has instructed me to inform you.
This is the fine print from the Mac versus PC
ad. Yeah, it's growing.
Giant wall of
wow,
text.
Wow, that's a lot of legalese.
But, like, Starlink will get better. That's why I am much more interested in it, is because can you think of another internet service provider that is on a monthly basis doing live streams showing how they're improving their internet speeds? Because I can't think of that existence.
I mean, gee, you got like Google Fi out there live streaming the guys digging the holes for the new fiber networks.
Fios.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do like, what, like 2 to 3 live streams a month saying how they're going to improve speeds?
Their CEO is also putting people in space or Mars or something.
Yeah, definitely. That Google Fly guy, his name, Sundar, what's his face? And, you know, he's... Anyway.
No, how many ISPs say they're going to double their speeds by the end of this year?
Yeah, that is pretty epic.
Does that double the stability issue as well?
I imagine it means decreasing the dropouts to a point where they're almost gone entirely. But that's the only thing preventing me from switching, really, because I have uploaded all my videos ever since I set up Starlink with Starlink. It's a bit slower, but it's fine. It's not like a make or break type thing.
Have you noticed the speed kind of drop off on a big upload? A lot of times with ISPs that I've gotten to use, like, you'll do a speed test and it'll be like 20 megabits down. But then when you go to upload something, it only actually uploads at like 2 megabits a second sustained. Have you noticed any changes like that, or is it pretty consistent?
It's not consistent, but when you're uploading a video, it's inconsistent in all the good and bad ways. It's like you can take advantage of upload peaking over 30, hitting 40, which of course your upload will take advantage of that when you're posting a video. It's like, oh, cool, I've got some more upload, so I can push more. And then when it slows back down, obviously the upload goes down again. So slower, yes, but not a deal breaker. And it would be very different if this was peak Starlink and it was never going to improve. Then I would be like, okay, this isn't good. But I know it's going to improve, and I know the end goal with Starlink is to be gigabit. And it is cheaper than what we're paying for Comcast. So the debate comes down to, what am I willing to put up with for the next few months as they iron out Starlink, as more satellites get connected and the connection gets more reliable? How much compromising am I willing to make in the short term, basically?
I have a question.
Yes, Randy.
Hi. Randy Vasquez. I'm an internet addict. Hi, Randy. My issue with getting it so early, unless there's a benefit to this, and this is what my question is. Does this lock you in at a price that's going to be a variable later, or is it going to still change? I would rather I'm in the camp. Just because I think I'm so plagued by iMac issues in the past and stuff, I'm in the camp of just waiting until, you know, nirvana. Everything is just, you're there, you're enlightened, it's perfect, it's ready. And
you'll be waiting a long time, buddy.
Then I have to wait. But I feel like getting on the ship of getting a Starlink set up now, with the stability issues of, like, this is my one and only today in February 2020, I feel, or 2021, my goodness, where did the year go? I feel like this is maybe too problematic, and I should wait unless the incentive is you
get
some
rebate. Out
in
March, Randy. This is going out on March 1st.
Really? Hey, my birthday's right around the corner.
It is.
Wow. Anyway.
You're not getting a video.
Nope.
You're
sorry.
That's all right.
Nothing exciting.
No video. No shout out. I'll
give you a thumbs up.
My friends,
up
ladies and gentlemen. These are my best friends.
We should just send him last year's video.
There you go.
Randy, happy 31st.
All the same
birthday.
Clip.
Hey, which is fine because my birthday was the last normal thing that happened before the world just went up. So, yeah.
So
anyway,
it was your fault. Oh, I see.
Hey,
oh, okay.
I was minding my own in a cabin up in the mountains when the whole world ran out of toilet paper. That is a fact. I got the receipts. That was a weird situation. Like, so are we stuck up here or do we go home? And we didn't know what to do. So anyway, that really pivoted. Is there a rebate that you get? Is there some incentive for adopting it right now besides being a use case, like a guinea pig for them to get information from you? Or not from you, but, you know, to read the data about what's happening? Because I feel like this is not a good time to do it at all if it's going to be that volatile of a stability connection and stuff like that. I would rather just wait until even if we don't get to Giga download or upload or whatever until a couple of years from now, until the stability has been secured, and I know they're launching more satellites as we speak, but is there a benefit of doing it so early on, or just so you can have bragging rights to say, I was one of the first?
It's definitely not just for bragging rights, though that helps.
Wow. All right. Okay. You went there. All right.
No, I mean, there is an argument to be made that those who are able to post content about it earlier and get it up there and people can watch it. I mean, my first video on Starlink actually did very, very well. And there is an argument to be made there. But obviously, there is a 30-day return policy, so you can still reap the benefits of that and get all your money back and send it back, which is still a very possible option. The concern I have so far is, as of right now, on Starlink support pages, there appears to not be a way to pause service yet. Pause meaning you cannot cancel it for a few months and then resubscribe to it at your pleasure. Meaning if I do decide to cancel it and return it and get my money back, there's no guarantee that I can sign up again and get it back as soon as it is ready. Or, you know, Nick and Mike try it and now their cutouts are hardly noticeable, and Starlink service is great and the coverage is better and the speeds are great and there's zero dropouts. I go, great, Starlink looks awesome now. Let me subscribe to it. They go, we'll let you know. Because everybody, Starlink's main bottleneck is not going to be demand. I think it's safe to say that they don't have a problem with. That's why there's no referral program I can abuse like every other referral program. But there's the bottleneck Starlink will have is how many.
Speaking of, if you want to sign up for Visible, I get your first five months for something dollars.
I'll just add that to my description.
Dollar Slave Club. Dollar Slave Club.
But the reason there's no referral program or anything is because Starlink's main bottleneck is going to be how many people they can get on it without overrunning the satellites.
Yes.
So that's why for the foreseeable future, Starlink is going to be invite only. And as SpaceX's own terminology has been used, first come, first serve.
Yeah.
As in those who sign up for it, those who enlist in it and purchase it first are going to be prioritized over those who down the road decide, hey, I'd like to sign up for it. Okay, we'll let you know. We'll let you know when we have it available. And funny story, when I took delivery of it, for one, I was very excited because it showed up a lot earlier in the day than FedEx usually shows up. And the box is huge. It's right off camera here. The guy gets the box off the truck and puts it down, and it's not within cardboard. Like, you can see the SpaceX logo on the actual shipping package and everything, and it says Starlink. And he was like, I've delivered like 30 of these today. And I was like, really? Because I've been looking at rooftops every time I go out.
There's 30 people in my town.
It's like, who? I know you can't do this, but like, who else is getting these things? Because I want to have some Starlink buddies. We need to start a little local group. I was like, there's some SpaceX fans out there. Where are you guys?
You should take out a little post in your local like newsletter.
I'm like, hey, who else signed up for Starlink? Let's be friends.
Starlink fan.
Yeah, I was so excited, but also at the same time a little bit concerned at how high the demand probably is for Starlink, because I do live in a rural area, and I think a lot of people hear that I have Xfinity and think, oh, Drew lives in a major city. I am on like the tail end of where Xfinity lines run. In fact, I was very lucky to have access
to
it.
Drew does not live in a major city.
No.
It used to be a big city, though.
My poor T-Mobile signal. My God. When I was T-Mobile, okay, I went out there. I was like,
that was your first mistake, Randy.
I've never. First of all, Mint Mobile is on T-Mobile, so screw you. But I remember going out there. I was like, hey, Drew, what does this signal mean? And it had the E instead of. I was like, where's my LT part? I don't even know what the E means.
What I mean is there are people less than a mile away from me that don't have Comcast.
Wow.
Ew.
So, like, there were very much a lot of people with crappy internet in my area, and I'm just lucky to be on that one of those last lines that Comcast agreed to run.
You still got dial up.
There's a lot of people that are either relying on Digital Path or HughesNet or all those crappy, and they have no other alternative, which is why finding out that 30 other people have taken delivery of a Starlink.
Other people.
Yeah, because they want something. And if I was in that situation, Starlink would be a no-brainer, even with the dropouts. It would be like a 1,000,000%. Yes, this is infinitely better. And like I said in the video, it hits home for me because the first 19 years of my life, that was the situation I was in. The internet shut off randomly. When it did work, it was like 1 megabit down, 0.1 up. I remember having to set videos to upload overnight and going to sleep with the upload running. Mm-hmm. And if it was a bigger video, I would have to do it on a school night, and the upload would be done by the time I got back from school.
You still wanted to be a YouTuber? Oh,
I did. Well, once I could drive, I was driving to my friend's house to upload everything, literally. Like, every video I posted at my friend's house.
That's why Drew's so frugal, ladies and gentlemen. He knows what it's like. He's been humbled by the cursed hand, the cards that were dealt to him. He was cursed by it. 1 megabyte
We tried satellite
down.
Internet. We tried AT&T. We tried everything, and they were all terrible and expensive.
They tried being Amish and not do anything.
Hey, they've tried it all. Randy.
Hey, so what happens in a major city then? Because I got the email saying it's ready for me, and I could have done it, but given my stability of my own just living, I didn't sign up for it because I don't know if I could take it with me.
You can't.
The $99 down, or to buy it and have them deliver the.
They gave me the confirmation thing, like it's ready. I don't know. Okay. I gotta go do. I'll be honest with you.
Did it say beta?
Give me a second. I'll tell you. Well, keep talking. Fill the space. I'll pull up the email.
Okay. So, Drew, how do you like the UFO on top of your house?
It's gorgeous. I love it. I love everything about Starlink, honestly. Between the setup process was so fun and simple. I love the design of the router. I love how futuristic and modern it looks. It's sitting right next to my Tesla Semi, and it blends in perfectly. And I love how everything is powered by one power cable. The dish, the router, the design of the dish is so sleek and modern. It's one of those, the way I admire my iPhone sometimes, where
I could have ordered.
Okay,
now
so that's to put down the $100 deposit.
Okay, yeah, I just
so that's what everybody got, yeah, right?
Everybody got that email.
We all got that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not special, Randy. Okay, only Drew's special. Yeah.
One. Did you see the address on this thing? One Rocket Road, One Infinite Loop, Hawthorne, California. I know where Hawthorne's at. That is right here.
I've been there. I've taken lots of videos and pictures right in front of SpaceX.
Why did I think it was so up north? That's my back alley here.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be surprised if they invited you on the beta just because you're at such a lower altitude.
Yeah, if you could get it, Randy, I'd definitely have already had it by the time you get it way down there.
Latitude is what I meant.
What's that supposed to mean? I'm better than you, Nick. Of course I would get it. I saw the Cybertruck.
SpaceX, they analyze your social media presence to decide if you'd be good for the beta program.
Another reason why I'm better than you, Nick.
I guess I'll just have to delete you from this episode. Okay, I'll decide to bring Brandon
to
back.
To be fair, he saw the Semi before you.
Well, to be fair, I saw a Tesla before everybody.
That's not true.
To be fair, Nick is the reason this podcast exists.
To be fair, I'm the boomer in the situation, so I know better. I don't know. I don't know.
So that's my main concern with canceling, is not being able to get it back to circle back to
that. Yeah, but now you can say you had it, you made some videos out of it.
I did, but also remember, I believe in the vote with your wallet type mentality. Yeah. Like, I love the 12 Pro Max, and I love the 12 Mini, but ultimately what kind of pushed me towards the 12 Mini was I want to encourage Apple to make phones like this. Not more phones like the 12 Pro Max, which are $1,100 and still at 60 hertz.
Look how well
that's fine
did
for
us
most,
too.
But I believe in the, like, I want to support companies that I believe in, and I'm willing to put up with, you know, the 12 Mini in many ways is worse than the 12 Pro Max. There's objective
blasphemy
reasons it's not.
Ouch.
Battery life, for example. I drove around. We had to get a Windows laptop for my wife. We had to go back to her work. And I drove around, and I had a 5G thing on for a while. And iPhone 12 mini, when it's in a 5G area, the battery life is like cut in half. It's terrible. Like, and it was warm the whole time. I wasn't doing anything. I was like browsing the internet and watching YouTube, and the phone was just like noticeably hot. And I was just like, what the heck?
Why? This is a good looking phone, buddy.
Yeah. It's 5G. It's that's all it was. I've used it with LTE only before.
Very nice.
But I put up with it because I was like, this is what I want to see more of. I want to endorse, like, it, same with the iMac Pro. You know, this is what I want Apple to make more of that, so I'm going to endorse that. I'm going to buy that. And I feel the same way with, I despise Comcast and Xfinity with so much of my heart and soul. So much of their business practice, so much of the advertising technique. And also, to your argument about, couldn't the price change? Can the price go up? That is now the situation with both ISPs. Mm. Xfinity is not locked in on a certain price. In fact, it has increased every month for the past 3 months, and for no reason.
But you have a stable connection.
You have a stable connection.
It is crappy. I hate that they do that. But the reason why you're even on the fence is because of how spotty it is right now. And
that's the one thing.
If that's the price of doing business, unfortunately, that's just. It sucks, man, because like I really wish that there was a pause button, so to say. Can we wait? But I could see from Starlink's point of view saying like it defeats the whole purpose of giving you this product right now if you're just going to pause it when we need to get this we need to have this analytics off of you. And being that early adopter, like I 100% agree. Vote with your dollar. Unfortunately, it's also like being a first gen product. It's like you know what you're walking into, and it's really hard to have an exit strategy. You can't have your cake and eat it too, basically. Mm. It can't go both mm-hmm. ways. And it's what is your voting with your dollar? What's it worth to you? And something like an iPhone 12 mini, it's worth it to me to give up the camera, the battery life, and say I can live off of this because I got everything else in the world to keep me sustained, and it's not the end of the world. It's first world problems. And technically, I guess this would be a first world problem too. But internet connection, though, is that's a vital line to the world now. Like to pretend it like is. We don't need internet is baloney now. That we really do need internet. And I'm tired of like people going against the grid. Like, no, just be the old way. The old way is the old way for a reason. We've adapted and evolved. No, we are humans.
It's become a utility now.
It is 100%. And it's very vital, especially in a world of where we have this pandemic and people need to have this connection and stuff like that. Outside of not just being so blessed and fortunate to do something as this for a living, but people who need to work via Zoom calls and other task scenes to check in with family, to literally, I mean, there's a whole point. But my point is that the internet connection, though, to me, is a little bit different than like I'm going to vote with my dollar for this type of iPhone because I want to see more of that. When it's like this is your only lifeline, you can't have like dual SIM situation with internet and have both. You could, you but it's going to cost you. Yeah,
you
it's
going to
cost
you.
Like a dual SIM cost you. Yeah, totally.
Well, to be fair, I should throw out the other alternative we're weighing out. There are not two options here. Oh. There are three.
Ooh.
Option one that we don't love but is probably what the reasonable mind would suggest is cancel Starlink, send it back, and wait till it gets better. And when it's more ironed out, maybe next year, maybe end of this year, try to sign up for it again. Stick with Comcast for the next year. Option two is cancel Comcast, put up with a few – I'm making it sound like it's a bigger deal than it is. For most of what I need to do my job with, Starlink can work. Okay. I've proven that. I can upload my videos. That's the majority of my income. Live streaming is a little more clunky because it does drop frames occasionally. But it's still doable. It's not like impossible to do. And even these types of FaceTime calls are doable. You will just notice if I talked to my buddy Ross in the Air Force for 90 minutes yesterday on Starlink, and we could carry a conversation just like we're carrying a conversation right now, but there were just the occasional every 10 to 20 minutes or so, just a little drip, poor connection, and then it comes back. And they're not long. It's not like minute long dropouts. It's usually, when I've counted it, it's typically been around 5 seconds.
Okay.
And 5 seconds every...
This is why you're talking to us off of Starlink. Because 10 well, minutes adds up over 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking over cellular because, well, for one, I have plenty of cellular data, which is kind of, in a way, it's kind of a backup. So your dual SIM arguments there. But anyway, the option three that we're weighing out is...
Go Amish.
Downgrade Xfinity to the cheapest possible plan and use it as a backup internet when Starlink is just a bit too inconsistent. And we are looking at some of the cheapest Xfinity tiers possible right now to see what that would cost in the short term. And we would basically just use Xfinity as a backup lifeline for a few months until Starlink is officially out of beta and the dropouts are far and few between, and then cancel Xfinity for good.
Interesting, which is thought there.
Something worth thinking about. Haven't decided.
So I guess you've done a couple live streams. You've done a couple FaceTime calls. You said your wife works off a VPN, right?
She's working off of Starlink right now as we speak.
And that's using like a virtual desktop?
Yeah, it uses a VPN.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is her like consistency? Because I know VPNs are one of the most sensitive things to ping lags and quick dropouts. Like, you basically are remoting into a different computer.
And next, ExpressVPN.
And that's
ExpressVPN. Go to ExpressVPN.Taylor's for 10% off. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
So you're asking
what's
the stability of?
What's Louisa's stability like? Like, I would imagine if you're having like every 5 or 10 minutes a 5 second FaceTime dropout, that would cause a VPN to like disconnect, and she'd probably have to reconnect every 10 minutes. Or is that not quite how it's working?
Well, I only watched her work with it for about 10 minutes before I came in here.
Okay.
All right, and in those first 10 minutes, it appeared to be working fine. Cool. And she didn't have many complaints. She said that if a customer sent in a picture, it would take a little longer to load than Comcast. But we think that might actually be an issue with the router it comes with itself. I've been seeing people online talk about the Starlink router and say that, yes, the design is unique and it looks cool and stuff, but the range isn't great. But you can use your own router. So if that ends up being the problem, because I looked into the Starlink settings and it said that her computer had kind of a weak connection to the router. So if that continues to be an issue, we'll probably just plug it into our old router and see if that makes a difference, and I'll report back. Okay. But as of right now, it seems to be working okay.
Okay.
I texted her. If she gets a second, she can respond.
Interesting.
Well, this is quite the predicament.
Yeah.
I normally,
for the record, Xfinity is charging $145 per month right now.
What's the cheapest?
The cheapest I found on the website, which this is why I kind of hate Comcast, is because they have a bunch of stuff they don't put on the website. Mm-hmm. If you call in, you can get different prices and tiers. But on the website, it's $50.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No, but there very well could be cheaper options they don't put there
for new customers and promos and stuff.
We've done it before. We've been on Xfinity for years and then called them, and then they have things that aren't on the website before.
Like this is terrible. We're sorry. We'll give you $20
off. The tier we're using right now was not on the website, for example.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
We had to call in for that.
Well, normally I have some witty, snarky comeback about what this is. Tough, man. I gotta say, this is genuine. Like,
I'm very split.
I would hate to be you right now. I take that back. I'd rather be a leaker right now than having to make this decision. This is more stressful because this is livelihood for you and her. And
honestly, yeah, but it's not. I don't want it to come across as I can't do my job with Starlink.
Yeah.
Because I don't. I think a lot of people run with that as this is for your job, so you need a better. It's like I can do it all with Starlink. It's just a matter of what am I willing to. What are the compromises?
Are you willing to sacrifice?
Yes, exactly.
Hmm.
I mean, the live streams and the podcasts, for one, the podcast can be done over cellular, yeah. So it's not even a, I can do what I'm doing right now. The live streams, believe it or not, are not a huge chunk of my income. So they're not, they're a decent chunk, but by far, like, I can afford to lose the live streams. If this was preventing me from posting videos, that would be a different discussion, but that's not what this is. And I know that Elon is not always spot on with timelines, but I will admit that the Starlink timeline has been fairly accurate. If you guys have kept up with when the beta would be available and what the speeds would be, like the promises Starlink has set forward have been very accurate. Mm. You know, what they say they're going to do, they've ended up doing. So that's why when they say they plan on doubling the speed by the end of this year, I'm inclined, like, that probably sounds right. But at the end of the day, the speed isn't what I'm worried about. Everything after 100 megabits per second is kind of just flexing to me.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, unless you're downloading major files, like if you have a console and you plan on downloading huge games regularly, that's when gigabit versus 100 makes a big difference, but I don't do that. I
Rise the most gamers. Download
Rise up gamers.
Like that, I think they saw somewhere the new COD is going to be like, you know, 300 gigs. Jeez. Or something crazy.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God.
So wow. if you're downloading huge files like that, I get why you would want gigabit, but we don't do that. We use download for YouTube and Peacock. And
you said it.
Starlink has been doing fine with that. The first day was a lot worse, but I read online that it can take a few days for the dish to get properly calibrated, which I've already noticed. Like in the first night, it buffered quite a few times over a 4-hour block of TV watching. And then last night, it only buffered once out of the whole. So I've already noticing it like calibrating and getting more reliable and more consistent. So
you want to be sure that it's not just good for today, but you're future proofing it as well. Just YouTube and Peacock is good today, but if that's the threshold, in my opinion, that's a problem, because that means there's no room for error in any other aspect of it. And I think where I'm struggling with this opportunity, if it, you know, ever opens up, is I used to say, like, two things I wouldn't compromise on is really good shoes for my feet and a good bed for my back. And like those are like,
ooh,
anything else, I'll be frugal. Like I buy
I'm
this
the opposite.
Shirt.
I really want really good shoes for my hands.
I have sucky shoes and a old bed.
See, and that's and you're breaking yourself for it. I'm so sad. But like I will buy. Like, this is a $6 shirt at Target, right? Like, I will be frugal everywhere else, but I won't compromise
$6?
On a bed or
you're paying way too much for shirts. Yeah. Who's your shirt guy?
Tarjay. So, but I actually think I would drop the shoes and replace that with internet. Like, I feel like I can't compromise with internet because that's more important. And I don't just use it, and not because of streaming, but like, I actually have an app that tells me of all the devices that are connected, to include my smart speakers, to include my cloud cams that I have set up, to include.
I love that Starlink does that by default. That's just the app you use to set it up. It's the first thing you see is all the devices.
And I got way more devices technically connected than I ever would have thought. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that does count. So for me, it's like, oh, no, I really need a lot of internet download and upload. Like, I not either or. I need both. Hmm. And to me, that $100-something for you know, gig of down and whatever, like 30 or 50 up, like, all right, fine, then it's $100.
Your speakers don't need gigabit for the record. Just letting
no, but
they're streaming the overall, music. That's very but light.
He does it in such high quality, Drew, that he actually does need it. So
it's actually lossless quality. But even then, it's not even so much about how much it needs. It's the amount of devices that are connected to the router / modem, because I got a 2-in-1 and it's all pulling at the same time. Now whether it's pulling a lot or a little, it can clog up the output for that. And I want that headspace, because it's not just me. Then I have people come over, and then when I have my wife here, and then her stuff too, there's so much variables that happen. You poor hermit, man.
No, it's just the pandemic, but yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, but Comcast is, for one, changing the rates by the minute in a way that's worse and worse. And the other reason I'm very split down the middle is if I cancel Starlink, there's no guarantee on when I can get it back. True. Xfinity will always be there. They're not going to refuse service to us if we come back a month after canceling them. If we're like, hey, actually, I know we just canceled, but can we sign up again? They will be wide open arms. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course you can. Also, we have this new sign-up bonus. We have this new discount. You know, Comcast is always going to be there. They're not abandoning if we hit cancel. So it's like, with the drop of a hat, within a couple days, we could probably sign up again if we did cancel. So that's why I'm less attached to them, I guess.
Okay. Randy's given some of his thoughts. You've given some of your thoughts, Drew. It's my turn now.
Randy's an exclamation mark for me. Randy's also an exclamation ironically.
Point for me, too. So,
really?
If he's talking over me, I have no idea.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There he is.
Now he's back.
All right, he's back. Drew,
there's that good internet.
You and Louise should cancel Comcast and dive both feet into Starlink and work around the kinks of it and embrace the weirdness, knowing that it's only going to get better in the future. And yes, there are going to be times where your live stream is the bit rate's going to crash. Yes, there are going to be times where your FaceTime calls are laggy. And yes, there are going to be times where, you know, your VPN doesn't work or you're buffering on a movie. But every single day and every single dollar that you give to SpaceX and every single Starlink satellite that they send up there and everything that SpaceX is doing is moving towards getting you the best possible satellite internet connection. And that is a vision worth fighting for, and it's worth not paying Comcast over that. I like your compromise idea of, you know, keeping Starlink and a cheaper version of Comcast, but no. Just like you didn't keep the iPhone 12 Mini and the 12 Pro Max, you just gotta pick one and stick with it. And I know you, Drew.
Great idea.
I know you, Drew. Your vision for the future is so much more important than you're willing to wait, right? Like you didn't get a Model 3 back when you probably could have. You decided to make the adult decision and make adult decisions. I am saying this, okay, fine. That was a poor choice of words. I'll give you that. But this decision here is very important because you're choosing between supporting some archaic old company that literally hates its customers to the point where they do not provide good customer service. They chop people's rates. They double people's rates. They chop down they're like, oh, we're not going to cover you. They're the worst
chop their
company.
Balls.
Yeah, they do that too, I'm pretty sure. But you have an option. You have the choice, Drew, to say, screw it to you, Comcast. Screw it to you, Xfinity. We are going to be a Starlink family. And yes, all of you Starlink right people, rise up. It is time to take over the world.
I saw this one coming. I saw this buildup coming so quick.
I think Nick,
you need a little mustache under your nose there.
Oh, my God. I cannot say that. Come on. Wasn't that bad?
Well, you guys are like both sides of my brain right now.
No, I would say, if I'm being really honest, keep the darn thing. Talosif has not been known for quality anyway. Who cares if it gets some drop frames? Nobody cares. Your quality's crap. Your lighting is crap.
This is true.
Your presentation's crap. Your fast food. Fast food gives me diarrhea. Your diarrhea.
Oh, my gosh.
And you seem to love fast food.
I love fast
also,
food.
Also, Randy
coffee.
Seems to think he'll be invited back on the next episode after what he just said.
And then and then there's Nick, Mr.
At least my cam link works.
I want to go.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch. And then you got Nick with his platinum card, this, concierge, that. I have a phone number for the black card, and they hung up on me, and now I'm canceling them. Hoity-toity. I don't buy nothing but Calvin Klein underwear.
You've never seen my underwear, buddy. Actually, I hope yes, you haven't.
Yes, you don't know what he's seen. You don't know.
And then there's me, constantly grumpy and loud.
Hey, Drew, what's up with Randy this week? He's kind of off.
Oh, my God. He seems a little off.
He's throwing fists. He's throwing fists.
I'm throwing fists. Yeah, I think you should keep the satellite. Only because, you know why I'm pushing it? Because the tone of your voice tells me you're going to return the Starlink dish at some point really soon. You're like, we are looking at the, you said, this is how you prefaced it. The mature, responsible thing for us to do is that when you preface it like that, it's like, that's the one he's going to do. That's the one he's going to do.
If I just look at it from a end consumer perspective and I don't care where the internet comes from and I don't care. I mean, even then, the price thing is
a somewhat decent
argument.
You're saving $40 a month.
It'll take a year to save money considering the upfront cost.
But if it interferes with her work, knowing her and how strong-willed she is, she's like, nope, this isn't good. And that, my friends, gentleman of the club means wife is always right. If she does not like it, it's got to go. I can tell. I can talk from experience. Happy wife, your miserable life, or something like that, whatever.
Her being able to work off of it is important. I'm just saying for the time right now, it appears to be working for her. So
I hope every day Nick's little anthem that he did. I do hope every day it gets better. I hope that this buffering thing it's doing.
I think it only can. Yeah. I don't honestly see how it can get worse. To be honest,
quite literally for the start. Yeah,
literally. I have faith it's going to improve. I just hope it improves quicker.
It'd be great if it was improved now, but I mean, I'm very curious because I looked up how long it takes for Starlink satellites to become active after launch. Oh, you heard 2 weeks? I saw a Reddit AMA say 4 months.
What? It used to be 4 months, but they've brought them online pretty quickly in the past.
Okay, well. There might have been a launch by the time people are listening to this.
Hopefully Starlink 17 have you guys seen him in the sky? We're still waiting for poor Starlink 17. Starlink 18's already gone.
And there's another
Starlink 20 is about
and
to
there's
go.
A Starlink 20 in about a week from now.
Starlink 17 so, is supposed to go up tomorrow, right? Sunday.
Have we That's seen another, the reflector?
You know what's what I mean? That?
Have we seen the reflector? They said they're purposely going to put it where like when the sun goes down, you can see the satellites in the sky as they adjust and They're not going to be intrusive, so to say, but you will see them at sunset.
That's the only time they would be intrusive.
Just
before sunrise. You can see them, after sunset. They'll be most intrusive.
Have we seen any of them in the sky? I go outside, I'm like, no, that's
most
not
Most people do see satellites.
I have seen them a few times.
Like if you spend about, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes around, just after sunset, just looking at the sky, you'll see a few satellites.
Well, the problem is, I go, is that a plane? Is
no,
that a bird?
You know, satellites don't blink across the sky. A plane goes.
Plane will be blinking always. If a plane has light on it, it's going to have
blinkies,
flashing.
Yep, they have their strobes on.
Hey, if the
red
thing
and green
comes online in within 2 weeks, I mean, look, 30 days is quick, sure, but it's also enough time to, you know, this next batch that's going up, there should be a significant improvement, I would think. And by significant, I just mean upwards, not decrease. Yeah. Just upwards improvement.
Well, and they're also improving ground stations right now. Elon sent out a tweet just a couple days ago that a lot of people should start experiencing faster speeds with no new launches just because they're updating some of their ground systems. And I think
that's so cool.
Really, that is until we figure out the laser network in space, which is going to take a long time, I think. At this point, they're not building Starlinks with that hardware, so it's going to take a lot of time after they figure out how to do it well to replace their entire fleet. But right now, it's basically just going to a ground station near you. So, Drew, your internet is going up to Starlink and then going down to probably a ground station in the Bay Area or something, you know, that has good internet and is relatively close. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to those ground stations the number of people per ground station, I think, is the metric that they're using to be able to calculate how many people they can bring on and how many people will get a decent amount of service. Because if you have four people to one ground station, you're going to have pretty good speeds there. But if you have a 10,000 people to one ground station, you know, it's just like a cell tower. If you have a bunch of people at a concert, mm-hmm. nobody has good internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So does this mean after 30 days you can't return it at all, or you just can't get your full refund, or what does happen after 30 days?
That's when you can't get a full refund. You can still cancel it. It's month to month. So at any time, if you want to just stop paying for it and stop using it, you can
still
cancel it.
And how much is the full refund?
Well, I assume it's what we paid, which would be around $550, $580, $500. There might be a restocking fee.
It's honestly?
Nothing huge, but
I would.
The way I'm seeing it is like on a monthly basis.
We're 30 days.
Well, what I still can't figure out is because there's no, at least on the terms of service, it says that you can't pause the service. What happens after the 30 days if you pause it with all your equipment? Like, you just have it and it can't do anything.
That same UPS confusing. Guy shows up when you're not looking and he's taking this back.
Like, yeah, I don't really get. I mean, they're not going to come back and take the dish from you, so I don't know.
Comcast would, though.
Yeah, Comcast would shut up.
It's like a bad breakup. Comcast shows up. Give me the freaking router back! You left me. That's why you need to do Starlink.
Like a bad breakup. They show up outside your house with a boom box and. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. Don't
something like that.
Forget about me.
Yeah.
Keep it, Drew. Keep it.
Yeah. Keep it, dude.
That's what I'm leaning towards. But how it works for Louise will influence my decision a lot.
That's why I'm doubling down on Nick's side, because I feel like this thing's going to be sent back after a month, and I got to have somebody who has live on the ground, literally, or on the ceiling, coverage to report back on, because if you return it, we are all sitting in the dark. Mm-hmm. So selfishly, I want you to hold on to it so that way we can get live updates. We always have something to talk about on Slow Tech News Days. And it's literally the future.
Your arguments are not future based. Like, that's the thing, Drew. You are all about buying the future now and supporting that future vision.
Now.
Qi charging, no headphone jack,
charging
USB-C. You're
jack.
Always about
USB-C.
Getting off of old standards and onto new things. As
yeah,
you can.
Getting off.
And this is your opportunity to do it again, Drew.
Do it again, Drew. Get off.
Yeah, that's what I want to happen. I really do. I'm really hoping they activate some of the new launches while we're testing, and we can see those
what
dropouts get less and less
do?
Frequent.
WWED, he would keep the darn thing. Darn.
Elon,
good morning.
He's rich enough he could keep both. That's what I told my buddy Ross yesterday. I said, yeah, right now we've just got both Wi-Fi networks going, and he was like, it sounded like Johnny Bravo. He was like, you look like the kind of guy that could use two.
Hey, do the monkey with me.
Just have two Wi-Fis for a while. I mean,
that's a good buffer.
If it's a temporary thing, if you think about it like that, you know, a monthly recurring thing that you're going to keep for years, that's something we like to cut down on, you know, a food budget and cut out Netflix and cut out Amazon Prime, is because you just kind of forget they're there. But if you're subscribing to something, but with full well planning on canceling it within a few months, stacked up, it really only ends up costing a few hundred dollars for that buffer. It's being charged monthly, but it's not necessarily a monthly expense that's going to stick around forever, which is why I'm like,
It's not a subscription like annual membership. It's a service. You're utilizing a service, and I feel like keeping both as an overlap is if longevity, if we're thinking big picture here, you are smart to keep the satellite and keep Xfinity just for a little bit as there's an overlap. Give it not 30 days, give it more like 60 or 90 days. And if it's really that bad, then there's something wrong with the infrastructure as a whole, not you or your house location. That means Starlink as a whole, there's something wrong. And I feel like, in my opinion, who has no basis off of it, I think they're past that part. If they're at the part where it's public beta and we're about to be out of beta, you got to be far along in development in this sense. That this isn't a startup in that aspect where it's like, we're just going to see what happens. I mean, there's so much R&D that went into throwing these things up into the sky anyway with SpaceX. There had to have been enough R&D done that it's only going to get better. We all see that. If it doesn't get better, this is a bigger problem, not a Ericsson household problem. So if we all are kind of leaning in on it, I would say keeping Xfinity 2 more months or something, just enough to get it up there, and then it's gone.
Because, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you ordered it, they don't use the term beta, right?
They do not.
Ooh.
Does that mean they expect to be out of beta by this summer officially?
It depends on where you are. From the rumblings that I've seen around in the space community, it looks like when you're further north, you'll be out of beta quicker, and the people further south will like enter into a shorter beta period as they're still building out the more southern latitudes. I think
I didn't like that answer at all.
You have a really good case, Drew, to be out of beta by summer. And I think, I would, obviously we're having some issues with Starlink 17 and 20 is still pending. So there has been some setbacks, and we lost BN 1059 a couple weeks ago, which, you know, isn't great, but it's not the end of the world. Those satellites did go up. They just can't reuse the booster for a few more times. So I think there's a very good chance that you will be out of beta by summer, and there's pretty much as much as 100% chance that Elon can give you, you'll be out of beta by the end of the year for sure, as much as Elon promises can be trusted.
Because the speeds aren't really my concern. Like, when they talk about 300 down or something, I'm like, yeah, that's great. Fine. Just don't let it drop out. Yeah. I would take a hit in speed if it meant that there wouldn't be any dropouts, because the speed I can work with. The speed is a variable, but as long as it's there, I can live with this type of bandwidth.
Have you ever experienced, like, a complete dropout? Like, not just being super slow, but, like, just no service at all?
Not for an extended period. It's always very short.
Okay.
I would say the longest there was, well, it's interesting. The app actually
tracks that,
records when there is an obstruction or if it is no satellites located versus beta downtime. And most of the time, beta downtime might be at a couple minutes collectively, not in a row. It's not like you're out of internet for 5 minutes straight. I haven't seen that happen yet. But there are just occasional little blips, like 5 seconds. Okay. It goes off and then it comes back. And those little blips are enough to cause OBS to freak out or a FaceTime call to lose connection for a minute and then come right back. And, you know, what's funny is I texted my wife a while ago asking her if Starlink was working okay. And I didn't hear back from her. So I take that as it is working, because that means she's working.
Yeah.
And not on her phone. I'm gonna check on my app really quick. Well, I guess I have to connect to it briefly, just because I want to see if her laptop is connected, and it is.
Okay.
Looking at it currently, so that means that for the past, she started work at around 7:30. So for the past 3 hours, she's been working on it, and she has yet to switch back to the old Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So I take that as must be working somewhat okay. I mean, if she's still on it. But
interesting. Would
if I hear back from her, I don't know, maybe it's freezing up on her sometimes, but she's just putting up with it. She hasn't said, so I'll keep you posted if I do hear back. But yeah, I really want SpaceX to, I just love that this service is just internet for one. Like Comcast is always trying to shove TV down my throat. In fact,
but bundle with your
in order
home
to get
phone.
A cheaper rate. Yeah, what? With your home phone. Oh my God. I had to bundle TV with internet to get a cheaper plan with Comcast, which makes zero sense to me. If I wanted just internet, because we hate cable TV, we don't need cable TV, we don't want it. But if we wanted just internet, it would cost more. And first of all, someone has to come to your house and set it up with Comcast. And Starlink, it's just so cool to me, the idea that you can ship a box to someone and say, plug this in, and then the internet will appear. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's no, like,
with
you need an expert
to
come.
With easy instructions.
Yeah.
Plug, point.
With color-coordinated cable.
Everything
that's
was already plugged
thing.
Into.
Like, literally, you have to be kind of dense to not figure this out. Like, white goes to the white side, black goes to the black side.
Yeah, there's no, like, the instructions don't have words.
Said kind
like,
of
it's
dense.
Not, it's not in English or anything. You know? Like, you could be of any... You could be from anywhere in the world and pretty much figure this out, as long as you
That's
had
the
outlet with the correct power plug. So making something that intuitive to set up, whether it be gigabit, coax, or satellite internet, I've never seen something so simple and easy, which is it's as if Apple made their own internet service, essentially. That's and the, you know,
oh,
their
God,
site supports
you gave
Apple
them another
Pay.
Another service idea. Oh, no.
That's not a bad one. I'd rather them they do that than News Plus.
No.
Than
Final Cut Plus.
No.
Final
no,
Cut
no,
Plus.
No. No, hold on.
I saw that video, Drew. That made me so upset.
I have one more thing to say about Starlink, and then can we move on?
Okay.
Can we get like
Go
a
ahead.
Creator mode? I know this is something that no one seems to talk about, but all I care about is upload speed. If I could have like 30 down and like 100 up, I'd be in heaven.
Yes.
And I feel like
a 1,000,000% yes, I would
Starlink
take that.
Starlink is like the only company out there that I can think of that could feasibly provide this, where their infrastructure is
can
so
they?
New.
Is there any infrastructure limitations that prevents upload from being prioritized?
I don't know why it currently is limited. I don't know why current infrastructure is set up mostly for download. I mean, I know the reason why is because most people download.
Most people don't.
I don't know what the physical limitation is. Like, obviously, their pipes are all just built in one direction to go down and not
demand.
Up. But Starlink is so new, I don't understand why they can't set up their infrastructure to also support really fast upload, you know, as they build this out.
We're such a niche group of people,
yeah, but,
all three
but
of us and creators as a whole.
I would argue less and less,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I think most people are doing
as more
Zoom,
people are working from home.
Zoom classes. I mean, hey, if you have like four kids
but
trying to do
Zoom
meetings.
Zoom and stuff doesn't require over 30 or like 10 or something. Like FaceTime calls, for example. Our prime example.
No, but
of the
not
same
just Zoom. I mean, like, just people working from home and sending stuff to work and back, and you know, like, I could say
that
the need
that
for upload
megabits.
Is probably increasing.
I would totally agree with that.
Sure,
upload is.
But for us to have that dream scenario where we can have like 500 up or 100 up to have that dream, I think we'll get there because everything obviously increases over time. But I think we could, just as it stands, that to do those normal functions, because we are not normal people, doesn't require that many megabits. Whereas for us, like we're a very specific niche. We're like, please give it to us. I trust we will see that day happen, but I don't think that will ever be this is the number one request. It'll always be downloads.
I'd never see it being number one request, but
it would be it would be something that would get creators to switch away from an ISP. Like,
absolutely,
probably tons of creators who have found a you know, an office location that has like fiber to the building or whatever. And they have that similar to you, Drew, simply because it has good internet, right? And it's just all of these expenses that maybe they don't want to be paying for, but they want, you know, 100 up or something like that that they can get. If Starlink could offer that and charge whatever they want, like this would be a service competing with like fiber networks. Like, you know, that's not cheap service. What, like $200-$300 a month for like good tier one internet? Like, Sure, Starlink, charge that. Oof. I mean, SpaceX, if you ever need money.
Yeah, because right now that goes $300-$400 a month for an enterprise connection. I got a friend who actually has his own business, and he actually has an office. And he doesn't do any of this. But I asked him, I was like, why work from his office? And he said, because the internet's he pays for the enterprise services of it because it's so aggressively improved. And he said
that's the main reason I moved out when I was growing up to get better internet.
He goes, I would absolutely work from home if that was provided for residential. But even if you are a business working from home, they don't offer enterprise stuff for residential stuff. They're at these complexes that are multi-room buildings and stuff like that. And he rented a suite strictly for the internet, and he goes, at the end of the day, it's a business expense for me, but it's worth the cost, and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, oh man, you are very intense about this. And he's like, I need to have stability, and there can be a big enough noise for all of YouTube people and all of Twitch and everybody
I'll take a hit and down if that's what it takes.
Oh, me too.
For the record,
right? But I don't think it needs to be either or, right? Like, it's just now we offer.
No,
this
but
for
if that's what it takes, I'll take it.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, like if they could just have a slider in the app where you could just like how much internet, like you have like 500 gigabytes per second total. How much do you want to be upload or download? You can just slide this little slider, and it's just like. You know, I'm about to go live, so let's reduce the download and the download and increase the upload.
How cool would that be? A 500. Yeah. Here's your 500. Allocate as needed.
You can have it 50-50, and then
that'd be cool.
Right before you go live, you drop download down to 10.
Exactly.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Before
I wish.
Before
it's probably
we,
not that simple.
Yeah, probably not.
It definitely not that. I wish. Yeah. All right. So before we wrap up, I just want to talk about this Final Cut Plus thing.
You made me
and
throw up in my mouth, Drew. I saw the thumbnail.
I was so mad. Like, it wasn't – obviously, it's not Drew's fault, but it's Drew's fault.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who – he visualized something. He put something in a thumbnail that made it tangible for me to be like, I want to punch my iPad right now. Seeing that, I would rather never update ever again than have to do some type of subscription of any capacity because it is
– But that if you don't update ever again, that's a dead end road you're driving on eventually.
I know somebody, not me, who used to pirate Final Cut and they did just fine for years.
Wow.
Who's definitely not you.
Who's definitely not me. He did not start YouTube or making music off of pirated equipment.
I really hope they don't go the Adobe route, but if they just make it an alternative to buying it outright, I wouldn't be that upset.
No, I wouldn't be upset if they said, if you already have it, you have it for life. If that doesn't change, that's fine. And if they have like extra stuff like Final Cut Plus features, like, you know, auto editing of log or whatever, you know, like that would be pretty.
I still wouldn't like tempting. That because there would be pop-ups in the ad, in the app. I would be editing and there would be a little like, you can do this feature. They already do that with the fitness app and with Apple News and the App Store. I don't want another tab. Apple loves their little service tabs where they're like, and this is unremovable. It will always be here that will let you subscribe to this button. And if you don't subscribe to this, this button serves literally no purpose, but it'll still be there.
I'm just like, that mean we're if we get more and more of that, does that mean we're the product now? Because I paid for it, all right? I'm not the product.
No.
I paid for
this. If it was free, we'd be the product. But it's not free either way.
So that there, no ad. But also in Mac OS, I haven't encountered a pop-up as such where it's like, do more of this. But I don't use News Plus or News as a whole. And I don't have Apple Music up and going.
I think I've gotten a push notification before, but I've never got one. I unsubscribed. I deleted all of the TV apps and stuff right off the Mac, so it can't deliver that anyway. But I have gotten it on my phone. They love making the Settings app have an ad in the top corner.
Oh my gosh. I think I just realized what Final Cut Plus could be entailing. That would be the
a
one
good
that's
theory I've seen is that they decided that $300 for an iPad app would be too much. So instead, if you want it on that's iPad, it's like $5 a month. But because that's more approachable. There's very few people that would be on their iPad and just be like, $300 for an app? Okay. So they need a different approach. But if you bought it for the Mac, you keep it on the Mac. But if you want it on an iPad, they might make you subscribe
Final
to
Cut
it or
Plus
something.
Plus would give you iPad support and Mac and its continuity feature where it's all
it's
iCloud.
It's a decent
based.
Theory.
I do not want Final
I wouldn't
Cut
be
render
that
files
upset.
Going up to iCloud for the record.
I wouldn't be that upset if I still keep the if I still get to keep what I already bought on my Mac. I wouldn't be upset. But the thing is, I don't know how much validity goes behind putting like Logic Pro on an iPad if I can't plug in my mic and still record the same way. It's good as a like the problem with iPad OS, and this is where maybe iPad OS needs to change. Is
it has
it's really
studio
good at
quality mics now, Randy. Studio a six array.
Awesome. Beautiful, but it still only runs but the one app at a time. I can't run multiple apps simultaneously. And that's yet. And that's where it's like if they change iPad OS where it's more blurred of the lines of Mac OS than ever before, I can see where that's heading then. But if I can only have Logic open and hit record for audio and then jump over to FaceTime and talk to you guys and it's still doing both those things, if I could do that, okay, I see where this happens. If I can't do that, I don't see much validity in spending such money on a pro application in iPadOS, and maybe that's why they held off on it. And that's
now,
what
I
that's
hate
what
subscriptions for any kind of work app like that. That's why I abandoned the whole Adobe thing. That whole exodus was because of Creative Cloud. So if they did make it a subscription only thing, I would be like, okay, I guess I'm not going to edit on the iPad anymore. LumaFusion all the way. But if it's just an optional thing, but there's another option to buy it outright for $300 or something. I mean, honestly, it's a tough decision from a business perspective. From a consumer's perspective, obviously, it would be really nice if they were like, you bought it for the Mac, you get it free for the iPad. Great. But from a business viewpoint, I can see why they're a bit hesitant, because it probably is going to require a huge amount of software retooling and optimization for the iPad, and that's going to take a lot of money. And to support both the Mac and the iPad with Final Cut is going to require a larger software team. So if Apple wants to charge to let you use Final Cut on the iPad, I totally understand why. It's just the method of charging that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I would spend another $300 just so I could edit on the iPad either.
I would not. I would spend maybe
well, now that you have a MacBook, especially.
Which I love. Oh, my God. I'm loving it more and more.
Ooh, very
good.
I'll love MacBook Pro more when if there's HDMI. But HDMI only because I got the monitor. But just the SD card reader, it was all I would ever ask for anyway. But sure. MacBook Pro, I can't wait for, because that would be the ultimate one. But this M1 chip with the MacBook Air never wants it to get warm, and I've been pushing it. I haven't been able to stream, but I've been doing other things, and it just doesn't get warm. It's holy crap. This is the worst it'll ever be in Apple. My God. Like, if I could pay more money towards that to prevent them from trying to get more money out of services like a Final Cut Plus, I would happily put my money towards another MacBook Air and give such output like that. I've never been more in love with a Mac product than this year, and that is saying something, because that's competing with Nick's love for that gold medal right there in front of him that he's gushing over. So, you know, like, it does say something, but, like, this is – I'm so happy. Wow. I can't believe I waited this long, but I'm glad that I can appreciate the updates as such.
I can't believe you waited this long either.
Yeah, I'm still annoyed with Intel. Yeah, I'm surprised you
Very
waited
patient,
that long.
Man.
But I want to get rid of Intel on everything as soon as possible.
Interesting.
I'm ready. I'm ready to let go.
Let go. Let the past die. Kill it if you
let
must.
Let it go. Let it go.
Did you know they have certified refurbished M1 Mac Minis?
What? Mac Mini? I saw the MacBook Pro. No,
500?
No, no. How much?
500?
They don't have the base one. They have higher tier ones,
Ooh.
Though.
Oh, 700? 800.
Let's check.
There's one that's 760, and it has 16 gigs of RAM. And I think there was one for 900 with half a terabyte.
Whoa.
So even better deals than before on the M1 here, Mac. Like,
they have the cheapest one available.
Oh, they
What is it? $589. So $110 off. That is now the...
Wow.
Okay. All right. This Mac Mini here, refurbished M1 Mac Mini with the 8-core processor and 8-core GPU, with 256, 8 gigs of memory, is for $589, the best deal Apple computer you can buy today. I will take that to the bank. Take that to the bank. This is under $600 for the best computer in the world. Yes!
It's wonderful.
Rise up, gamers!
I love certified refurbished.
It's great.
Wouldn't be an episode if we didn't talk about the Mac
and
Mini.
And with that, it has now become a complete episode because we talked about certified refurbished.
Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Take care.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Goodbye. Wow.